Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has room. He's got one man to beat. Now he pitches to Flanagan, and he may take it all the way. Flanagan's in for the touchdown.
McKinley Wright from the logo.
Oh,
got it! Oh, McKinley Wright.
Breaks a tackle. Touchdown. Touchdown. That's five for Chris Brown.
The defense of Tomlinson.
Welcome into the DNVR Buffs podcast presented by the American Raptors. I'm Henry Chisholm, and we've got a special guest. It's Matt McChesney. And, you know, obviously we're running through everything that happened during Saturday's game. Colorado lost 30-0. It actually kind of looked worse than that, which is tough to believe. Just Matt, wherever you want to take this, what's on your mind?
First of all, you know, all the Buffs out there, I know you're hurting. I know that was bad, but they need you more now than they ever have. Mm-hmm. So everybody keep that in mind. You know, I went there with my family, took my mother, my sons. And, you know, it was an expensive day, and I'm not complaining. But when I, you know, spend money, it really pisses me off. And I felt like, you know, there's certain things you invest in, and I always think that CU is an investment, something you can always get something back on it. Mm-hmm. Brother, I've never in my entire life, as an alum, as a player, I've never had this feeling of we have no chance. And mm-hmm. Now, that's how I feel.
How long did you stay in the game? Did you watch the whole thing?
I stayed until the beginning of the fourth, and then I couldn't stomach it anymore, and mainly because of the people around me and how pissed off they were. And I get it, no one's saying you can't be pissed, but I don't know if I've ever seen a team, and this is really what's bothering me, is, you know, that about 10-11 years ago they went to Fresno State with absolutely no talent and got just annihilated. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost to, the last time they were shut out at home, which I can't believe they got shut out, but whatever. The 2012 against Stanford with Christian McCaffrey and all those freaks. Mm-hmm. And CU had just gotten into the Pac-12, and we were trying to build, and it was just a really, really bad football team. This team in Boulder is not bad. They have got talent everywhere. There's NFL players on the field. There's NFL coaches in the box. And the way – look, it was bad on both sides, but the absolute disgusting display that the offense put out in the last six quarters, and mainly the Minnesota game, but the last six quarters, it's, I don't see how it can't discourage the defense, because they, it's like they're worn out already, and we're three games in. We haven't even started the Pac-12 title or the Pac-12 season yet. And it seems to me that the damn defense is just completely worn out. Bro, I am dumbfounded on this. The worst offense in the country. 68 goddamn yards of offense. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I know how to fix this. I don't have a goddamn clue. I've never seen a group of players look more uninterested to play in a football game than I did on Saturday.
It was tough to watch. I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head, and you know, the defense was definitely disappointing compared to what we'd seen coming into that point, but they held pretty strong through the first half. You know, 13 points in the first half.
They played their ass off, with the exception of a couple of plays in the first half, Henry. But
and more than anything, it was just issues tackling. Like we can knock out the defensive problems pretty quickly, because, you know, when you're playing Minnesota and they're going to run the ball 40 times, and if you're going to give them the extra 1, 2, sometimes 5 yards after you make contact, that's just not a formula to beat them. And to see mistakes tackling isn't something that you really expect from this defense, given what we know about them, given what we've seen about or seen from them And so that is kind of the discouraging point there. And there's a couple other little things, you know, Mark Perry kind of got picked on in coverage. There's stuff like that. But for the most part, you know, the defense played pretty
well. They played good enough to win.
Exactly. Exactly. Just not good enough to win with that offense.
But look, I can't even attest to this because in the worst game that I ever played, which is similar to this, and in no way is it. In Texas in 04, we hosted Texas and Vince Young and Cedric Benson and those freaks. And we didn't play well in offense. They had about 220 yards, and we didn't do well in third down. And we scored on defense. We lost 31-7. And I thought the defense played their asses off. It was the best statistical game that I ever had. But it was just a struggle for the offense. But they weren't in a position where we looked like we should just take a knee three times and punt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, what's really bothering me about this entire situation is how far off the coaching staff was about Lewis and Neuer. Because if this is really what we're getting from Lewis, and everybody's got to stop with this, like, he's a freshman and they're college kids and be easy on him shit. This is a fucking business. NIL pays the kids. This is a results-based business nonetheless. So all this bullshit about, like, be easy on him, it's just an extension from high school, that's the entire fucking problem with the state of Colorado and the university, in my opinion, and the fucking fan base. So, look, man, when you're this far off on an evaluation, when you have a second-team All-Pac-12 quarterback who you let just walk to Oregon State, how can you be that far off on this eval?
Yeah. So what I would point to is probably JT Shrout. And, you know, the fact that it's a quarterback competition throughout is not. What?
He wasn't brought in to start here.
I mean, it's something happened.
Easy for everybody to say right now, Henry. It's really easy for everybody on 104.3. And Chad Brown said it this morning and everyone else. Lewis was thrusted into the starting role. That is bullshit. That kid was, since the Texas game last year, everybody's like, okay, there's the future starter. Stroud was supposed to come in and push him and be the backup. So, yeah. Look, as a media, we can be wrong about this. As a coaching staff, you can't be this wrong. This isn't an offensive struggle, bro. We are dead fucking last in the country in how many offensive categories?
I don't know, but I guess at least a few. Yeah.
So it's when you're that bad, it's a combination of everything. But look, man, I like Lewis as a kid. Nice guy, I guess.
For sure.
He can't play quarterback at the University of Colorado. They have to go a different direction. And look, dude, if I take a bunch of heat from this, from the coaches and all that other bullshit, then we have got monumental fucking problems. Because you can't erase what I just saw. 30-0, absolute trashing by a team that you should absolutely compete with and beat at home is not acceptable.
Yep. And, you know, I asked Carl after the game, like, did you consider putting Drew Carter in that game earlier? And he said that really that they talked about it at halftime. They considered it. And I think it's a mistake not to put him in earlier. I think you start the game with those three and outs. And beyond just being three and outs, I mean, there's open receivers that Brendan isn't hitting. There's one where Brendan is in the pocket. Brady Lewis is at the or Brady Russell's at the stick, and Brendan pump fakes, holds it, runs out. Brady gets open again. Brendan doesn't throw it to him there and winds up throwing the ball away. And when there's open receivers and the quarterback's not throwing them the ball, I mean, you just got to make a change.
At least 10 circumstances in the first half alone that I can remember, and there's more, where literally I'm sitting there screaming, throw the ball, everybody around me saying it, and the receivers are standing there, hands up, like pointed at the quarterback on the field.
Yep.
So, look, at some point, all the feelings and all the, oh, my God, how can they criticize us, shit like that up in Boulder, it's played out, bro. Like, it's been so long since they've been at a point where they can even have the audacity to say something like that. So look, I understand that it's easy to criticize when you see something that bad, and we're probably not as bad as Minnesota, but we're probably not as good as Texas A&M. We're probably in the middle somewhere, but I'm telling you, bro, I think it all goes full. And I know this is a minimal problem, but minimal problems become big problems when they're not evaluated correctly. Why in the Sam hell are we wearing white when Minnesota comes out donned in all white? The entire fucking stadium looks like it's Minnesota brown. And everyone's like, oh, it's 95 degrees. Why the fuck would see you wear black? They're telling everyone to wear white. I had to go to Target and buy my kids white shirts and shit. And then we come out in black and gold. These are the little things I'm talking about that make us look not only stupid, but unprepared. And there's nothing worse than being unprepared.
Yep. And what happened there?
How can you take last week and all the positives that came out of it and turn around and put that on the field? It's such a lack of maturity from the coaching staff down. Bro, Henry, where do we go?
I mean, that's a question for Carl Durrell. And luckily, I get to hear from him in 2 hours and 15 minutes, and we'll find out exactly. Real quick, on the white thing, that was that Colorado Barstool account that said, everybody wear white, and the athletic department said, why are you doing this?
They fucking pushed it!
The athletics department definitely was not pushing it. I've heard from them that they were not happy.
Fucking worse that they didn't tell everybody not to do it then.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. But the fact that it was all white, it's just a bad look.
Bad. It's a fucking terrible look. I understand people like, yeah, that's inconsequential. And I'm like, okay, so how many of the little things that need to pile up before it turns into a big thing in your opinion?
Yep. I think, you know, in terms of what needs to change here,
God damn.
And just going back to Drew Carter, I do have one more thing to say. Drew Carter should have come in at quarterback at the end of the first quarter, and I absolutely expect him to look much worse than Brendan Lewis. That is just based on everything we've heard, based on what we saw from those last couple of drives. He would not have played even as well as Brendan Lewis did. You still have to make the change, though, just to give him a chance, just to show that you're not okay with what's happening out there. Like, you just can't be stagnant. At this point, though, what I think is going to happen, what I think the right move is, you throw Brendan out there again and you build a package for Drew Carter. And if things don't go well through the first three possessions, that's when you put Drew Carter in. Because the truth is, when he got in there, those balls were not on target. And the problem is they just don't have a quarterback. Like, I don't know. You don't like it. What are you thinking?
I don't like where we're at. I think that there's, losing a transfer backup quarterback shouldn't put you in this position. Like, this isn't a rebuild. This is, you know, Coach Mack and Coach Tucker did a good job recruiting. There's dudes on that team.
Yep.
Coach Durrell did a pretty good job bringing guys in initially. Like, the third string kid, the Worthington kid from Durango, he's one of my guys from 6-0. He's a hell of a player, but he's a January enroll walk-on. He's not ready to just get thrown to the fucking wolves. But apparently neither is Lewis and neither is the other kid. So, is it time to go tell Matt Lynch to put back on 15 and play quarterback? And just, I mean, that's the only other option I can come up with here, bro. You can't go find some dude on the street.
I mean,
so, look, I agree that it was bad in every aspect. The offensive line was terrible. The play calling I thought was atrocious, but I don't like the scheme. Like, I don't know how many people pay attention to this kind of shit, but it's all I do. I was intentionally getting up from my seat and going to watch the replay so I could get a back, like, all 22 view of the offensive line. And in situations where you should be, like, double teaming and going vertical, regardless of the – if it's outside zone scheme, we can still get vertical and annihilate the two interior defensive linemen or the front side 7-9 technique, 5 technique, whatever it is. The fact that we were just sprinting off the ball and, like, slapping down hands instead of stepping into the double teams and getting vertical to the second level linebacker, when the linebacker's not even plussed over, like, we're running to a spot and stopping, and they're undercutting the players because of the inconsistency in either how it's being taught or the scheme in itself. We have the personnel to line up and physically assault people going forward. I don't think we don't have any way, though, to cover up the fact that we're not a finesse team. If we don't line up in 22 personnel with a fullback and two tight ends and start running the fucking ball down people's throats, we may never score again, Henry. And I'm not trying to be negative here, but that performance on Saturday ruined me. Like, I don't even know how I'm supposed to evaluate it from a non-biased standpoint without the fire. And like, I've had at least 15 of my boys that I played with been like, well, how are you going to talk about this without pissing everybody off? And in the back of my mind, I'm like, the fact that I have to fucking even consider making someone angry that just shit on themselves the way they did on Saturday in front of a home crowd that was the first time I've been back in Folsom since COVID, in front of everybody just dying, just like, hey, man, what we saw against UNC was cool, but we saw you go toe-to-toe with the number five team in the country, and we are so excited for this season now. And the main issue for me is, where is the leadership? Where is the fire? Why aren't there some fist fights on the sideline? Why? It seemed like, and I'm a godless heathen atheist as fuck, but it seemed like to me we were just at a church service or something. And I'm not trying to be overly negative here, but I really, 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 really care about this fucking program. And that not only me, but everybody I've talked to, every fucking guy, and there's a lot of them, I asked them, do you ever remember being in a situation where you felt like we had no chance to win? And every one of them was like, absolutely not. And that's, bro, but at the beginning of the third quarter when they came out and it was 1-2-3 punt, I was like, we have absolutely no chance to win this game. So I've gotten to a point here where I don't know the answer to these questions, and I'm not paid to know them. But a couple of things, and I want to get your response on this. Okay. And again, trying to piss anybody off, or God forbid somebody's feelings get fucking hurt. Lewis can't play quarterback for us anymore until he figures this shit out. We've got to put somebody else in. I don't really care who it is at this point. Just rotate him through. Put the other kid in.
Run the triple option or something.
Do something. Change something. Two, they've got to just commit to being physical in the run game and going vertical instead of trying to be cute and look for cutback lanes based on the fact that it's 8 and sometimes 9-man boxes because they know we can't throw the football. Three, I don't see how Coach Schiff can keep his offensive coordinating title. I'm not calling for the man to lose his job. I'm saying sometimes when things happen the way they're happening, and then you've got a good Arizona State team on deck and USC at home after that, you've got to do things that
you got to do something. You got to do
stuff, and somebody's feelings might get hurt. But Carl Durrell needs to take over the offensive play calling, and they need to really, really, really evaluate how they're being taught the simple fundamentals of double teaming and climbing on the offensive front. If they're not going to utilize their backs and their multiple tight ends, why do we have them? The receivers are as good as they are only if you can get them the ball on play action. You can't run play action if we can't run the football. And look, bro, I know what kind of player Casey Roddick is. I know what Jake Wiley is. I know what Frank Philippe is. I know Kush can play. I don't even know who 53 is. I don't know why he was in the game over Colby. I thought played okay against a first round draft pick, big dick SEC defensive tackle who could play. I didn't think he was cool. But like, why is Frank Philippe not in the game? What is Jake Ray? How many times have you and I personally talked about the fact that he looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane? He got beat like a Cherokee motherfucking drum, bro.
Early in the game, too. I mean, giving up sacks. And that's why he came out of the game. That's why all those guys came out of the game, because everybody was screwing things up. I mean, those first couple of possessions, Jake Wiley was getting beat. Max Ray more than anybody.
Left.
Yeah.
So Wiley left, and who did they put at right tackle?
I think that's when Phillip came in. And he was getting beat too in his first game back. Casey Roddick had a couple of plays that just looked bad. And again, like, you brought up some things that you're smarter, obviously, about the offensive line than I am. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. But maybe it is just a scheme thing where they need to be more downhill and not so side to side. But every player on that offensive line was just getting beat repeatedly. And that's why they went 10 deep. They had to throw 10 guys in there. They were just rotating, trying to find somebody who could block somebody.
Well,
Meanwhile, it's just bad.
Can you not be excited,
right,
to play this game? Did look, you were on the field, right?
For parts.
Yeah, at least the beginning of the game, right?
I was in the field for the end of the game and right before the game.
For pregame, though. Like, you were down there for pregame?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they look as nonchalant and I don't give a shit about this as it seemed?
No. I mean, you go out there and they're warming up, they're doing their thing. I have no idea, but they just
got
intimidated
by Minnesota, are they?
I don't think so.
How can you be? You just went toe to toe with fucking Texas A&M.
Yep.
So, you know, I talked about this with the Broncos this week. Like, I wanted to see maturity, and they played okay. That's not what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But there was a total lack of maturity by CU. They act like they were playing UNC and they beat A&M.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it looked to me. And I don't understand how they're relaying the importance message. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is it going to take to get the players to understand that they have to take control of their own football team, or we're going to be 2-10.
1-11.
We may not win another game if that's
not if you play like that.
That's the kind of effort you put out on the field in a nationally televised game against a Big Ten team that's pretty good and physical. And like, they did not know that. It seems to me like they didn't prepare at all. That's the only thing I can come up with. Like, they were just like, yeah, I guess we'll just run what we run and everybody will get some orange slices at halftime and it'll be really awesome. And we're going to play everybody today. So we're going to make sure everybody gets a participation fucking game ball. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. It'll be fun, though. It's a nice 11 o'clock kickoff. Everybody will get a mimosa and we'll have some breakfast. It'll be awesome. You'll be home by 3 o'clock so you can actually go do what you want. And I'm sorry I'm so fucking hurt, but I'm like emotionally affected by this. And it doesn't happen to me often when it comes to CU. I can usually look at it regardless of outcome and be like, okay, these are the reasons things happen. But the last time I felt this discouraged, we went to Fresno State and got absolutely shit stomped like 11 years ago. So, yeah. Man, I really pray to God that they can muster up enough to at least support a defense that I think is pretty good when they have an opportunity to play defense and not just play catch up.
Yep. We'll dig in. Like you said, like it's just tough to even say what went wrong because so many things went wrong.
Everything.
We'll talk about that. You know, it was the quarterback making Cheverini look bad? Is Cheverini making the offensive line? But it all just works together. We'll dig into that just a little bit more and see if we can figure something out. But first, Breckenridge Brewery, a great partner of ours. We had a bunch of Breckenridge beers before the game. I think some people wish that they had had some more before that game so that they didn't have to remember all of it. It was a great tailgate. You guys should come hang out north end of Farron Field, all these Buffs games, if you're still showing up to those. And you won't be disappointed, at least in the food and our drinks, because they are Breckenridge beers. We went to the bar yesterday, the DMVR bar, had some more during all those football games. Breckenridge is just the best. So many great beers, and you can check them all out on their website. Use the beer locator. It'll tell you exactly where you can pick up any beer you want to try. Also, want to remind you guys that if you have not joined DraftKings Sportsbook yet, now is the time, because if you bet $1 on any football game this week, you'll get $150 in free bets instantly, no matter what. This football season, all customers can swing big with DraftKings same game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from the same game, and then obviously it works like a parlay. If you hit all those things, you make even more money. So you can take, you know, last night I had Lamar Jackson to score a touchdown with his rushing yards, with a couple of other things in that game, and I wound up missing it, but I barely missed it. So I still feel good, even if I lost my money. So Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DMVR and receive $150 in free bets instantly when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code DMVR to get $150 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. All right, we can jump back in now. So, like I said, you know, Darren Cheverini, obviously the play calling wasn't good. It can't be good when you wind up with whatever was 68 total yards, negative 19 rushing yards, all that stuff. At the same time,
68 yards.
I know. At the same time, when you watch those first couple drives, and Brendan Lewis is passing up open receivers that, to Cheverini's credit, he did get open. That makes Cheverini look bad. Meanwhile, the offensive line is getting torched, which is why Brendan is just a little bit jumpy. And you know, who does this all come down to for you? I want to hear offensive line, quarterback, Cheverini. In what order do you place the blame?
Chiv, he's the offensive coordinator. The buck stops with the coach.
Yep. That makes sense.
After that, Coach Rod, because he's the offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's just the list of players. I mean,
yeah,
the entire offensive line I thought was atrocious.
Yep.
Not only were they getting beat physically, but I don't see the – doesn't seem like they really are excited to go out there and play on national TV against a pretty good fucking team. That would be a big game, in my opinion. The lack of creativity, though, is on the offensive coordinator. And I'm hoping that there's not just a bunch of yes men in the offensive room that are all just trying to keep their jobs. But it seems to me like no one's going to challenge shit. Like, no one is sitting there. We talked about this last week. There's no constructive arguments where, like, in the real world, you know, you say a curse word or say something wrong to somebody and, you know, you're probably going to have to go to HR and get fired. And, like, that's just, people are fucking soft. Mm-hmm. But in football world, if we're not having constructive criticism conversations and like people aren't yelling or raising their voice and like they just are really nonchalant, like, everybody just be okay. It's all good. We have time to figure it out. There's good people here. That's not the way this works, though. We don't have time. And no one gives a shit if you're a good person or not. Can you fucking play or coach? And I know Coach Schiff can coach. I know he can. I know he can recruit. I've seen him do it. I know Coach Rod can get the job done. But I don't understand how they can be in this position where it doesn't seem like they can game plan. It doesn't seem like they practiced. It doesn't seem like they can make any adjustments on the field whatsoever. They don't know who they want to play, where they want to play them. They can't figure out a way to get the ball to Rice. They can't figure out a way to exploit all their tight end matchups. I haven't seen Pell run seam route yet, and that sumbitch can play. Mm-hmm. I don't see any variety in their screen game. I don't see any wide receiver screens. I don't see middle screens. I don't see tight end screens consistently. I don't see a different kind of run scheme where they're running power and counter and trap and inside zone, outside zone. I don't see any outside influence trip bunch like pitches on Gator, which is like, when you have that trip bunch here and they down block and pull the tackling guard and get in space to the field, I don't ever see any of that shit. I don't see any Z reverses. I don't see any X reverses. I don't see, like, the other night I watched, in the Kansas City game, I watched them run Z reverse. The tight end stayed in and blocked. They faked the screen to the reverse. The tight end turned around. He threw it to Kelsey, and Kelsey took the fuck off. Now, look, I'm not saying they got Travis Kelsey. That doesn't matter who the tight end is there. They did it with Blake Bell on the other side and got another 30 yards like 10 plays later. It's about scheme and creativity and actually trying shit and installing stuff that plays into your personnel instead of, this is the scheme and I need to find guys that can do it. Uh-uh. The coach has got to be able to change shit. And there's no change. It's like they're just doing the same repetitive shit over and over again, and it's, it'd be fine if it was working. I will run power until the cows come home, bro, if we're getting 6 yards a pop, and be boring as shit and win 21-0. Mm-hmm. Just like Minnesota just did. Minnesota lined up and ran the ball, what, 35, 40 times for close to 300 yards on us?
Yep.
And then what'd they throw it for, 150, 100, 125, something like that? Not even, they didn't throw it that well.
I thought it was like 277 rushing and like barely in the 400s total. So
like 130 yards passing.
Yeah.
And it was all play action and screens and like third down conversions on third and three, four, five, because they were kicking our ass up front. But again, it's the creativity I saw from Minnesota's run game is what I'm looking for from CU. They have the personnel to do this, Henry. They're trying. They have huge physical offensive linemen. They're trying to run fucking zone read stretch plays with them. They have good tight end play. They don't line them up together ever. When's the last time you saw 13 personnel? When's the last time you saw the Brady Russell scissor back on trap, counter, power, all the zone plays, and then turn around and run bootleg off of that? When's the last time you saw Brandon Lewis sprint out? There's sprint out is with the offensive line, bootlegs away from the offensive line. I haven't seen him run a sprint out yet. Have they even ran a screen to a running back yet? No.
They did once. They did once. And Lewis put it behind him, and it was like a loss of six. It was that first drive.
Okay. So one.
Yep, one.
But again, like, just because something negative happens on the goddamn first drive doesn't mean we should stop doing it for the rest of the game. Who gives a shit? Do it again.
Yep. And then there was another one, not exactly a screen, but they have a couple receivers lined up to the right. It's Lewis and shotgun with Broussard to his right. Broussard goes in motion before the snap, goes out there. It's off coverage. And instead of throwing the ball to Broussard and letting him work behind those receivers, Lewis turns up field, gets them into a second and nine, second and eight. And meanwhile, Broussard's over on the sideline with his palms up, looking at the coaches like, what are we doing? And, you know, here's my thing on Cheverini. He has a really hard job. I think it's really hard to put up points with this quarterback and with this offensive line right now. At the same time, there's a lot of hard jobs in football. And if you don't get your job done, what happens?
He has a hard job.
With Brendan Lewis at quarterback right now?
Totally disagree with you.
Really? Really?
I think he has an unbelievable support system. He's got the unbelievable facilities. Mm-hmm. He's got multiple skill players that can roll and get down. Mm-hmm. I regardless of the struggles of the offensive line, I really hate the scheme that they're running, not the players. I hate it.
At the same time, though,
I want them to mash motherfuckers and move them vertically, and I don't see them doing it ever. But last year, didn't we saw them do it last year, though? Against Stanford, what did they do? Did they run cute outside zone shit, or did they just line up and bloody Stanford's lip?
They bloodied Stanford's lip.
Exactly, bro. So I don't think that he has a hard job. I think the quarterback coach has a pretty difficult job trying to develop a bunch of freshmen. Mm-hmm. But as the offensive coordinator, I think that it's like when a kid, I had this consult with this big sumbitch that started this morning at 5 a.m. And he's 14 and he's 6'6", 240 pounds. And the first thing his dad said to me was, he doesn't really know what he's doing. And I was like, good. And he's like, what do you mean? You're the first coach I've had to say that. And I'm like, I don't have to unteach all this bullshit he's been taught by some high school coach who doesn't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Again, not saying all high school coaches don't know what they're doing. Relax. I'm just saying, I don't have to unteach bad habits. I get to teach my way as the foundation. So if that's the first thing he's learning, I know he's going to take the fuck off. If I'm Coach Shipp, I'm looking at it like, look, the fact that these freshmen are so green, this is an opportunity to get creative as shit with our offensive system and the other pieces. And instead of trying to fit him into an offense that requires a Mahomes or a Kyler Murray these guys that he offensive coordinated with Cliff Kingsbury around, wouldn't you look at that as an opportunity to change it and an opportunity to prove to people that you're not just a one trick pony?
For sure.
And maybe look, no one's saying his job is difficult. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I would relish that opportunity right now, bro. As a coach, I would be like, if I was Coach Rod, if I was Coach Shipp, I'd be like, look, we just got our asses handed to us, but I think we're pretty good if we can get our shit together. And let's change some shit up, man. Let's go out and run stuff at Arizona State that they've never seen on tape before. If we can't install that in 5 days, we should be fired.
And why haven't we seen two of these running backs on the field at the same time?
There's just so many things
that you can do out of that alone. Like, I do agree. But at the same time, if you're Cheverini and you're watching those first two drives and saying there were two open receivers standing right in front of Brendan Lewis and Brendan isn't throwing the ball. Yeah, I guess at this point, maybe you should just see that coming and you shouldn't be asking Brendan to do that. But that's got to be frustrating just to play devil's advocate.
Well, why can't he? Why? Then again, it's on the, he has free reign to pull the guy out of the game, right?
True.
So yeah. Again, it's, this all comes down to confidence, in my opinion, not just the, like Brendan Lewis and the lack of confidence to just see, to throw the ball. You're not being asked to do anything crazy. They were
right.
Throw the guy the ball.
You would think
coach and the confidence to make a decision that's not going to be questioned. Mm-hmm. It's that Coach Shiv doesn't get, no one's breathing down his neck to, well, they are now, but they weren't breathing down his neck to like make all these critical decisions. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if he walked up to Coach Daron, he was like, look, he's really, really struggling the first couple of drives. I want to go with somebody different. He would have said, yes, he's not blind.
I think they should have. You got to, when the quarterback is passing up open receivers and doing the things that Brand does, you need to put in Drew Carter, even though I am 90% sure that Drew Carter would have looked even worse, because that's just based on what we've been hearing. You still just have to do it just to be sure, because obviously what's happening isn't working. And you know you're not going to win with Brendan Lewis.
Well, give me a break right now. I see young quarterbacks in college football constantly walk in and fucking ball. Mm-hmm. So why are you telling me that the two scholarship quarterbacks in Boulder can't fucking play? How did they get recruited to play here?
I don't know. And here's what I would say.
I'm super confused about.
When you see a 19-year-old who's starting, though, it's usually because there's at least one veteran on the roster who he had to beat out. Even if he isn't very good, he's at least been in the program a few years. He at least has made those little passes. And Brendan is not in that situation. And JT absolutely would be starting right now if he wasn't starting out of camp. Like after that Northern Colorado game, JT would have gone in. And does that mean that Colorado's offense would be able to move and do those sorts of things?
Maybe.
Who knows? It's possible. It also could just look this bad. But not having like the just like this baseline backup quarterback level and being stuck with whatever you get, it is a little bit different than one of those guys who shows up and at least has to beat out somebody who's been in the program. Somebody's played a little bit of camp.
It goes back to the Neuer thing.
Yeah.
How did we mess that up so bad?
I don't know. I mean, Neuer wanted to leave. And now look what happened. He completes 10 of 20 something passes in week one and gets benched and hasn't seen the field since.
So, but again, did Neuer press the narrative of wanting to leave, or did CU tell him Lewis is going to be our guy?
So I haven't actually heard what happened, but I do know that it's one of two things. Either somebody told Neuer he wasn't going to be the guy, or Neuer kind of read the writing on the wall that one of these two was going to be the direction, with Brendan Lewis being the ideal option. And one of those two things happened. Neuer bolted to go home. And I mean, if you're Sam Neuer right now, you've got to be saying, wow, I made the wrong decision, regardless of whether the coaches are saying, hey, we aren't interested in you. Like, you still got to stick around in hindsight. I guess you don't know that Trout's going to be down, but it's a tough situation. You brought up Matt Lynch. I think you absolutely put Matt Lynch at quarterback right now, because you gotta at least see if he can compete, right?
I mean, my thing is, what's Lynch right now, about 240?
Yeah.
You want big motherfucking quarterback, dog. Like, he's going to be out there. I don't know if he can still throw it with the same motion. I don't know if you just line up in Wildcat and just run down people's, you know, face with Lynch. I would absolutely entertain that, though. I don't see how you can't. I don't see how you can't entertain that. who else? Like, are there any defensive players that played quarterback in high school that they move? Like,
I don't.
Is this the most dire quarterback situation that CU's ever been in, ever?
I think it is. I think it is.
How did this happen so fast? I'm like super dumbfounded by how we went from like this to this. Like, I'm not even saying at an angle. We're just dropping.
Yeah. And the defense has realized, you know, we can talk about how bad the offensive line was all we want, but there were plays where outside cornerbacks at the snap were just charging in at the ball. And I don't think they were like corner blitzes. I think they just knew a run play was coming and they were making plays in the backfield.
Yep. And that, look, the as an ex-defensive lineman, when you know what's coming, it's pretty easy to make some plays. And as an ex-offensive lineman, if they know you're running the ball every play and you can't hold up in protection because the quarterback's holding the ball for 7 seconds, there's really nothing we can do. Like, we could have as many fucking plans as we want, but who cares? I mean, it doesn't matter. You can't block people that long.
Yep. I've got two questions.
It's not possible.
Two questions. First, so like I said, Carl Durrell, I'm hearing from him in less than 2 hours now. I expect him absolutely to make some sort of change. What do you think that change is going to be? What should that change be?
I think Carl should take over play calling.
Yeah.
And they need to find five guys on the offensive line and just go. And that those five, in my opinion, need to be, and this is biased by, in my opinion, but this is just what I would do. I would, if you're not going to put Matt Lynch at quarterback, I want to see 12, 13 personnel, multiple tight ends and fullbacks on the field. And I want to see them hammer the goddamn ball in between the tackles vertically. No more of this side to side bullshit. And then everything comes off of that. So, but again, in order for any of these changes to happen, somebody else has to call plays and somebody else needs to institute the scheme it's going to take in order to be successful. And, you know, if that means that Coach Rod you got to evaluate the offensive line coach and how they're doing things. Everything offensively right now is on the table for evaluation and change. Every position, every player, and every coach. There's nobody's job is safe right now. Nobody should think their job is safe right now. And if I was the head coach, and I would say this to everybody, and the first person that got offended by it or like needed to talk about their ego and feelings, I would fire that human being on the spot in front of everyone else. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I'm not advocating that people lose their jobs and shit. That's not what I'm saying. But this is, again, a results-based business, and our results are dog shit right now. And with that personnel, if we had guys who couldn't play, Henry, I wouldn't be so hardcore about this right now. But we got some fucking dudes up there that could really play ball on the offensive side. And it's either a lack of try or a lack of care. And I don't believe that they don't care. And I believe that they were trying. So are we stupid? Because that might be the worst of the three.
That would absolutely be the worst. And I think you're totally right.
I would assume that Durrell will take over play calling. That would be the number one thing in my opinion.
Me too. I think that's the most likely. I think the other things I'm kind of on the lookout for are, I mean, there is a chance that they just say, we're going with Drew Carter. I think what's more likely is they say, we're going to start seeing Drew Carter. We're going to, like, once every three possessions, something like that. If things aren't going well, put him in, see if there's a spark. And if there is, let him ride. But again, I think that they know that their best chance of winning is with Brendan Lewis, just based on what I've heard from the practices and the fact that they've said over and over again, Drew Carter is not ready. So I don't think that they'll announce a quarterback change. I don't think they announce a quarterback change. I wouldn't be surprised if they do say Matt Lynch is going to start working at quarterback just because we got to see what we got there. And we have Alec Pell and we have Brady Russell and we have some of those guys.
That would be the first thing I asked Coach Durrell today.
Yep.
And if he's like, well, Matt Lynch is a tight end, my next question would be, so who's the quarterback?
Fair. And then my other question for you, and you kind of answered this, was going to be like, if you were taking over as play caller for this Arizona State game, what changes do you make? And you kind of touched on some things. But I mean, what's the game plan here?
vertical run game. Mm-hmm. Aces, which is a double team of the nose tackle. Deuces, which is a double team of the three technique. 12 personnel, 13 personnel, which is one back, multiple tight ends on the field, either two or three. I would go tight end heavy, whereas you can motion the tight end back to fullback and really assault people vertically. I don't really care if we get 4 yards a pop. In fact, I think that would be fantastic to control the time of possession and limit the amount of throwing we need to do and whatnot. I would find creative ways to get the ball in Rice's hands and guys like that on reverses and screens. You know, if they're off coverage, stand up and throw the damn ball to them. I don't know how many times I saw, you know, DBs at 8 to 10 yards and we can't just like stand up and throw the damn ball to them. I would put the quarterback under center immediately and start running. Like if we're going to try and do all this cute, you know, motion based shit, then, you know, it's not working. So I think that it might be time to revert back to just some old school smash mouth football and run power and counter and trap and like really maximize your personnel, because you have the tight ends that can both, you can put Russell, Lynch and Pell on the field together and they all three excel at something different. So it opens up the playbook a little bit, in my opinion. If anything, they should watch a little bit of Iowa State tape to see how to maximize all those tight ends together, because they're pretty good at it. That would be the offensive game plan for me. And then the defensive game plan for me would be, last week's over. This is an opportunity on national TV to fucking shut everybody up. And we got some ballers in this room and the offense needs us, dog. Like,
yep.
We're not folding tents and the season is not over. This is a must win in my opinion. And I think you're going to see a really inspired Buffalo team go down there and play their absolute balls off.
You have to hope so. Cause I think it kind of goes one of two ways. Either they really are inspired and go down there, or it goes the other way and they start feeling sorry for themselves and they're embarrassed and all that kind of stuff. And things spiral.
Are people getting fired if they say they go lose 35-3?
People get fired. I mean, you'd have to think so, right? Just because you need the shakeup. Like, I don't think Carl is in danger yet.
No, they're not firing the head, man.
But I do think that obviously Darren Cheverini is the one you look at. I think Mitch Rodrigue in the offensive line is another one. I guess Carl Durrell has been up there, front row, watching Danny Langsdorf work with these quarterbacks. And so it's kind of up to him whether he thinks that, you know, these quarterbacks just don't have it, or Danny hasn't done a good enough job coaching them up. But Danny's kind of the third name on the list for me.
Man, I can't believe we're having this conversation 3 weeks into the season.
Especially compared to where we were last week after the A&M game.
That's the thing is, Coach Durrell comes out and says things like, I think we've proved to everybody in the country that we're a lot better than we thought we were. Did that translate to the players and the coaches like, we won?
I don't know. I don't know.
Hell? Have you ever seen a team pull a 180 like this, Henry?
Never. I've never seen an offensive performance where you wind up with negative 19 rushing yards in a passing game that looks like that.
Oh, my God. Sick to my stomach. That's terrible. Holy shit, that's bad. Yeah,
if we want to end on a positive note, because, I mean, there's no reason to do it, but why not? First half against Texas A&M, they moved the ball. And they
looked pretty good at times, yeah.
Yep. They got
20 points.
They had the touchdown. They got down to the 5 and couldn't convert the 3rd-and-1 or the 4th-and-1. Could have been a touchdown drive right there. They missed the 46-yard field goal. That could have been a few more points. And there's a better offensive performance. Since then, those last 6 quarters look really bad. What's happened in those 6 quarters? Jarek Broussard gets 5 carries. And that's not to say that Jarek Broussard just fixes all of this. But, I mean, it can't hurt to have Jarek Broussard
your best player.
Do more. Exactly. If that's 50 instead of 5, then what does this look like? Still probably not good, but I don't think we're having this conversation.
No, it was probably a competitive game on Saturday that they, you know, just let get away from them.
Yeah.
Or they win. So they've got to feed the running back room more. There just needs to be, this needs to be like the most egoless week of coaching and playing in history. Like everybody just needs to sack up And if it's better for the team than it is for you, that's what needs to happen. And hopefully, I mean, that's the way it should be happening anyway. Mm-hmm. But like when you have coaches' wives on social media coming out talking about like, this is about developing talent and kids and like, it's not just all about wins and losses. That's some shit that they say in Fort Collins.
Yep.
Like I heard it a week before when they got absolutely hammered by South Dakota State. Now it's happening with our coaching staff. Like this is not personal.
No.
This is huge, big business. And as an ex-player and a guy who loves that place, this is unacceptable. And I'm embarrassed for the offense. The defense, I'm disappointed that they didn't play better under the strain of the other side of the ball shitting on themselves. But I am embarrassed about the offensive performance. Like sometimes you're going to give up some points defensively, but I would be hard pressed to believe that game would have been 30-0 and we'd be talking the way we are if the offense could have held the ball for 10 more minutes and like scored 20 points.
I totally agree. That's why we haven't been talking about the defense more, because yeah, they gave up 30 points at the same time. Two of the touchdown drives were on short fields, one on Dimitri Stanley's muffed punt, one on the whatever else. I mean, it felt like half of the game was out of hand. And so that's not really an inspiring circumstance for defensive play. And now, obviously, you still got to be fired up. You're still out there. It's still important. You got to play like your life is on the line. But if there was ever a time where the defense was not going to be motivated, it was in that game. And yeah, there were missed tackles in the first half. But again, bad games happen. And that defensive performance, I think, was one where you say that defense looked like a middle of the Pac-12 defense, you know, just a pretty standard defense.
They looked like they did last year at times, or the year before, excuse me. And but last year, you know, like in the UCLA game, it's a shootout, but we're scoring 45 points. Mm-hmm. So is it just one guy? The offense is pretty much back intact with the exception of Will Sherman, and no offense to offensive linemen everywhere, myself included, but losing one offensive lineman doesn't throw you off the damn cliff.
Mm-hmm.
This is a philosophical problem inside the building that they have got to fix. And look, the first part of realizing there's a problem is admitting there's a goddamn problem. So I'm really, really interested to hear from you, honestly.
Yeah.
On how the press conference goes, and like Brian Howell's up there, obviously, and you're up there, and Adam Munster Tiger's up there, and guy, like, does Ryan go up to the press conferences?
No.
Okay. So like, I know damn well you three know what you're talking about, and you've seen a lot of football and like you care. So please just ask hard questions and don't let them fucking dodge all these questions. And there's got to be a, look, in the past, there's a very strong, like, push by people to not criticize them too hard. But in my opinion, if you can't say things that are facts when the whole world knows they're happening because you're worried about someone's feelings in this kind of business, we're not talking about some family shit. We're talking about football.
Yep.
So like this needs to be ruthlessly honest. And like, if they can't do it with questions the media are asking, or like fans and media need to like curb their criticism and their feelings towards this, because somebody's feelings might get hurt in the meeting room. That's the number one indicator that human being probably shouldn't be in the position they're in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know I've got a list. I'm sure Brian Howell's got a list. I know Adam Munster Tiger has a list. I think even the TV guys who show up once a week have some lists now.
Yeah, they got some lists.
And who knows? There might be a big group of media up there today, because I think there's a lot of people around town who have some questions. And, you know, to Carl Durrell's credit, he did come out after the game and say, this is a problem. We got our asses beat. There needs changes. And my job right now is to reevaluate everything. And we need to start all over on offense. And today's kind of the day the bill comes due, where he outlines a plan.
Would we know already if Shiv was lost as OC?
Honestly, I would think that they would get that out before the press conference.
Press conference.
But again, we're an hour and a half away. And so that might be an email that comes out 15 minutes before and not an hour and a half before. Just, but we'll see. We'll see. Or maybe they want to give Carl the chance to step up there and say it himself. Big day regardless. Big day regardless.
I'm not advocating for Coach Shin to lose his job or anything or be demoted, but
we know how football works. You have a job, and obviously the job is not being done.
Yeah.
And so the question is out there, and that has to be something that Carl asked himself, and we'll figure out what Carl came up with, because he needs to have some sort of plan to fix this, and whether that plan is let Shiv see what he can do, because Shiv says that these are the three things that we can do to fix this problem, and Carl's bought in, or Carl says, you know what, this isn't going to work, and so I'm taking over play calling, or
what would you do?
Shiv, you're just gone, and we're sorry about that, and we like you, but look at what's happened. We have this defense. We need to make a change. Anything's on the table. Anything is on the table.
What would you do right now?
To
what
me,
would you change for?
You know, and here's the interesting thing, I think, is that if I'm Carl, personally and selfishly, and I don't think he's thinking that way, I don't know that I look at the play calling job as one where I expect to be successful. And a coach like Mel Tucker, who's out there for, you know, he has a little bit more ego. He might look at that and say like, I might pass that responsibility on to somebody else, figuring out how to win with this quarterback.
That's a good point.
I know. And so we'll see how that goes. But to me, if I'm Carl Durrell, I think you got to say I'm taking over play calling, depending on how that meeting goes with Shiv. You know, I'm asking him, how do we change? How do we turn this into an offense that, I mean, we can score. Obviously, going spread with these receivers doesn't work for a bunch of reasons, including Brendan won't throw the ball to the sideline unless he himself is also on the sideline. And so you get a receiver open over there, it doesn't even matter. So bring the receivers in tight if you want receivers. Throw tight ends out there. But I think I'm probably keeping Shiv this week. I'm taking over play calling. I'm kind of making him almost a figurehead type of guy. But I mean, if morale is bad enough around that building, you might just need to make a move that shows that you're serious, you know, and sometimes you got to prove that you're a tough guy. And Carl Durrell, obviously, has been around this business for a long time, and it's early in his tenure, and it wouldn't be the first time we've seen a coach just say, hey, we got to prove the point here that we're not okay with this. Similar to Levante Chenault getting his suspension, just saying, you break the rules, this is what happens. You don't produce as a coach, this is what happens. And honestly, I think he probably should have done that by just benching Brendan Lewis and putting Drew Carter in, at least for a series at the end of that first quarter, just to see what happens.
So if nothing happens and they just move forward, I think you run the risk of losing the locker room a little bit. Because guys will
especially the defense.
Guys will say like, well, there's no consequence to doing your job poorly. So, you know, I'm going to do the same thing because it's that's how it's set. So, again, I feel for Shiv, and, you know, there's nothing I wanted more than for this experiment to work out. But unless that was just the one-off, just worst college football game I've ever seen, this is a problem. So, the only way to fix problems is usually changing. So I guess we shall see.
We shall see. Big day. I've got to get in the car and head up there. We'll talk soon. Thanks for doing this. I hope do you feel like you got some of it out? You feel like you've moved on? You feeling a little better?
No, this one's going to hurt for a while. I'm not going to lie. So, the only thing that can fix this is a W, and that's the same for the players. So I hope that they can go down to Tempe and like really play well and get a W. So we'll see.
Yep. I'm headed out there on Wednesday. We'll see.
We will fucking see. There's no doubt about that, but hey, go Buffs, brother. I always love them. I got their back. We got to do better than this.
And we know that they're capable. They're capable.
They've got so much talent on that team. That's really what's killing me the most.
All right. We'll see you next week.